You know, Kawhi Leonard, obviously he's going to be the focus of the Spurs offseason. He's going to be the number one priority. Close second is obviously going to be Manu Ginobili, whether he's going to retire or not. But perhaps another Spur who's been with the team since he was 19 years old could not be wearing silver and black for the first time in his NBA career. And I'm talking about Tony Parker. Welcome to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. And yep, it is the offseason. The Spurs will be definitely looking different next season, possibly as maybe the remaining two of the original big three, the glory days, will be gone. We don't know about Manu Ginobili. We just did a show about that in the last LOS. But today we're going to be focusing on the youngest member of the big three, and that is Tony Parker. He is a free agent. He may or may not be back with the team, depending if the Spurs want him back. He says he wants to come back. He says he wants to play a few more years before he calls it quits. But maybe, just maybe, is it wise for the Spurs to say adios? Or maybe it's wise to keep him on. So to talk about that and a lot more, I am joined once again by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. And Joe, can you believe this? This offseason, and maybe heading into the next new season, the last two-thirds of the original Big Three could be gone? I mean, isn't that just a little mind-boggling?
Yeah, it's a little mind-boggling, but it also makes me feel real old, dude. He came into league at 19, and I remember that. I was a little bit older than 19, Jeff. I don't want to divulge my age, but man, that just makes me feel like I'm an old man in a rocking chair.
I hear you, man. Look, he's Tony Parker, as mentioned, he's been with the Spurs since he was a teenager. And boy, did he get Popovich's wrath when he did not perform well on the court or in practice. But it pretty much shaped him into a finals MVP back in 2007. He's been an all-star. He's definitely Hall of Fame bound for his collective work on the court, whether it be in the NBA or international play. And without him, the Spurs basically don't win a few of those championships along the way in their history. But this past season proved that his time may have come. He had taken a secondary role to the up-and-coming Spurs guard, DeJounte Murray. Parker's now coming off the bench. He ceded the starting point guard to young Murray. And throughout the season, he showed flashes of what he can do, considering he came off a horrible injury last year versus Houston, and he was playing phenomenally in the postseason. He had almost like a renaissance. Pretty much his leg blew up. His quad muscle just exploded, and he had to have surgery. He had a rapid comeback, and he performed pretty well. Joe, let me give you some of his stats before we start diving into this topic. During the regular season, he averaged 7.7 points per game, 1.7 rebounds, 3.5 assists. In about 20 minutes per game, he shot 46% from the field. In the postseason, 7.3 points per game, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and his field goal percentage dropped to 40%, albeit he did have a drop in minutes from 19 in the regular season to, about 19-20 to about 13. Needless to say, Joe, you know, he showed flashes throughout the regular season, 23 points versus Memphis during the regular season. That was his season high. You also look at, you know, he had a rebounding high versus Dallas at 5. He had a 9 assist game versus Miami. Nevertheless, he's fine. He played 55 games this past regular season. He was pretty much basically restricted to the minutes restriction from Popovich early on, but the Spurs definitely used him, whatever they can, out of him during the regular season. But now it's the offseason, Joe, and there's a possibility he may not be back. I got to ask you, should the Spurs bring him back? And pretty much before you answer that question, when you look at Tony Parker's play this past regular season, what were your thoughts? What did you think about it?
I'm not going to ask you to play bad comp, and I'm not going to play good comp, bad comp, but there's aspects of his game that I love, and then there's other aspects of the game that you can see have kind of taken a tumble, you know, and that's the kind of season that I saw, and that's my I guess, expectations that I expected more out of Tony Parker, but we never really got the full-fledged Tony Parker, and that was due to him saying himself that during his rehab and him coming back, he did hit a wall. So after he hit that wall, he got demoted and he came off the bench. I like Tony Parker's, his experience and the way that he carries himself on the court when he's out there in limited minutes. Because let's be honest, Jeff, at this age, I mean, he's not really what he used to be, but he can play quality minutes in short spurts. But man, you know, it's a tough decision, dude. I mean, I love Tony Parker from the aspect that he helped us win championships. But at the end of the day, when you're looking at his game and what's happened to him, oh man, I'm just, it's kind of like, I think it might be that time, Jeff.
Well, look, he led the team this past regular season in assists in 19 games, and he scored a season high, as I mentioned, and game high, 23 points, along with 4 assists and 1 steal versus Memphis. He's still serviceable. I think any team, especially a very young team outside of the Spurs, could use his services, maybe like a Phoenix. Imagine that, or an Orlando team that's, you know, needs that type of veteran leadership in the locker room. But nevertheless, though, he's still part of that fabric of what made the Spurs what they are today. And under Popovich's reign, he knows Popovich inside and out, what he expects on the court, what he expects and demands from other players. He's pretty much Popovich on the court at this point in his career. I mean, 17 seasons, and he's only known one coach. So he oozes that Spurs corporate knowledge. But there is a point where the Spurs have to make a tough decision, and this Spurs history has shown that they have made tough decisions before in the past, trading Sean Elliott, trading George Gervin, trading Malik Rose. They also done, you know, very questionable moves. Some may or disagree with me or agree with me, but I mean, I always thought letting go of a guy like Steven Jackson was always a bad idea because of the toughness factor that he brought in. But with Parker, it's different. We've known him since he was a teenager, and we've seen him develop on the court. We've seen him off the court when he got married to Eva Longoria. You know, that was kind of a spectacle, and his countless promotions and GQ appearances. So we've seen him grow up, and now we see him a married man and a family. So he has a very strong connection not only to the Spurs franchise but the community in San Antonio. We thank him for his service, but I'm on the fence right now, and I look at Parker and I feel that maybe it's time to part ways. This, as I said in the last show, Joe, how do you expect the Spurs to go forward if they're clinging to the past? Tony Parker represents that past, and it's a phenomenal past. It's a Hall of Fame past. But while he's there, that might stunt the growth of a guy like Murray, of a guy like Derek White, who pretty much looks like, at least in the G League, could be a good quality point guard in the league. But Tony Parker's there. And let's face it, Popovich loves his veterans, and he's going to be loyal to Parker. We even heard Steven Jackson this past regular season pretty much proclaim that if you're not Parker, Manu, or Tim Duncan, you're not in Pop's circle. Parker is part of that. At the end of the day, Joe, I don't think the Spurs will let him go. I think Pop is too loyal to him, and I think that may pretty much hinder the Spurs maybe just having that little bit of extra money going after a free agent when they have to give it to Parker. But I'm on the side of number 9. Thank you for your 17 seasons, but we have to move forward.
Well, I can see that argument, and I do respect your opinion, because I mean you're basing it on facts and performance, and I can't doubt that. But, I just have this special spot, man, in my heart for Tony Parker, because if it wasn't for him, and of course for Timmy and Manu, I mean, we wouldn't have won nearly as many championships. He has, degraded as far as his game. His lift isn't quite there. He has his speed and little, spurts here and there. But over the course of the season, it's kind of like when you have these aging players, and, even in Manu Ginobili as well, you have to, really limit the minutes. And at the end of the day, it's a business decision, and they have to say, are these players really worth forking out, all this money for them to be playing limited minutes and not producing every single night. You know, they can give you a couple of games here and there, but on back-to-backs, and, you know, it's just not going to happen because the body needs to heal and it needs to rest. But the one thing that you can't put a price tag on, and let's be realistic, is experience. You know, and that's one thing that I think Tony Parker has. He has that, like you said, corporate knowledge, that experience out there on the court, and that is invaluable. That's something that he can share with the up-and-coming, you know, point guards that the Spurs have right now in DeJounte Murray and Derek White. And I believe that if the Spurs do bring him back and they decide to, hey, you know what, we'll give you the league minimum, and you might have to take a little bit less than that if you want to finish your career out here in San Antonio, but we also want you to help the point guards and share your knowledge and bring them along a little bit. If Tony is a team player, and I'm sure he is, I'm more than sure that he'll wind up doing that. If not, you know, and he doesn't want to take the hometown discount, he might actually have to, you know, finish his career on another team. It's come down to that, you know, and the Spurs, they're not getting any younger, and we see them get exposed when they go up against younger athletic, you know, more athletic teams in the Golden State Warriors, in Oklahoma City, and the Pelicans, you know, this, and even the Jazz, and also the Denver Nuggets. That isn't going away anytime soon because you have this plethora of young talent, and the Spurs are aging. So tough decisions will have to be made, Jeff, and I'm just glad I'm not in the front office to make them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, look, I want to make it very clear. It's not that I don't value what Parker did in his 17 seasons with San Antonio. I am not ever going to discount what he did. And look, if the Spurs do bring him back, I agree with you. It's going to have to be for a vet minimum. I mean, a very Manu Ginobili friendly deal, the way Manu's been giving the Spurs hometown discounts, about $2 million last year. I mean, that was, he agreed. And Manu Ginobili, he's worth more than that for what he's done, as is Parker. But in this day and age of the NBA, it's all about guard. Donovan Mitchell's on the rise. Westbrook, you look at it, who else am I missing here? You know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Kyrie. It's all about Kyrie Irving. Parker, he's on the backside of his career. He's now kind of, sort of, you're probably going to correct me on this, Joe, but he can be a defensive liability at times. Klay Thompson, all he has to do is post him up in the paint. Same thing with Kyrie Irving. Donovan Mitchell can pretty much blow past him. Same thing with Russell Westbrook. If he's willing to take a bench role like he did this past season, fine. If he's willing to take a vet minimum, fine. But, and there is a positive to this. You know, if he does come back, the locker room presence, you know, I'm predicting DeJounte to have himself a breakout season. What better way to have a breakout season than having number nine, having your back in case you hit a wall or maybe you're still not there yet? Because we forget just how young DeJounte Murray is. But if I'm the Spurs front office, I may have to take a very cold approach to this. And I may have to say, Parker, thank you for your services, but we're just not going to do that. We're going to try to develop Murray. We're going to develop Derek White. And we're going to move forward. We'll try to, you know, make some phone calls, find you the best fit. And, you know, I know you're a free agent. Maybe we can just help in that search. But I'm willing to pass. And as tough as that may sound, and I know I'm probably getting hate mail for this, but I think it's just time. I think it's time. The Spurs have to push forward. They're getting younger, but not at a fast rate like I think they should. Signing Pau Gasol to that deal, I think that's still crazy. You know, Patty Mills, you know, he did what he could do, and yet, I applaud him for what he did in the postseason. He did up his game, but during the regular season, where maybe a few games could have been picked up if he just made a few more shots, and that could be said for any player on the team and the losses, but he was relied upon a lot, heavily, by Popovich, and, you know, he had more hot games versus cold games. I think I'd be okay with that. So as tough as the decision it is, look, I mean, Popovich even jettisoned George Hill. At that time, we didn't know that Kawhi Leonard would turn into what Kawhi Leonard is now. But at that time, that was a very difficult decision. George Hill was loved by fans. And yes, he didn't stay in San Antonio or didn't have the longevity as maybe Parker did. He was in what, in the Spurs uniform for about 2-3 years, Joe? I'm probably mistaken on that, but they still made a tough decision and they got rid of him. I shouldn't use that phrase. They traded him and what turned into Kawhi Leonard. What if that could be happening right now? What if the Spurs, you know, part ways with Parker and then Derek White comes on the scene and he just lights it up as we saw in the G League? And I get it, it's a G League, not the same as the NBA, but it's still something. There's still a good foundation there. So, yeah, I'm taking the code approach. And I think I say adios, Parker, and you're still going to get your jersey retired in the Alamo City. You're going to be hanging up there with TD, just like Sean Elliott's is up there, even though he got traded to Detroit. But I think, yeah, I'm on the side of it's time to really start moving away from the original big three. Keep Manu, though, one more season. But I'm just keep on pushing forward.
Yeah, man, I kind of agree with you, and then I disagree with you. Yeah, we should, you know, start looking towards the future as far as who's going to wind up taking over once Tony Parker's, you know,
gone. Well, we know that's Murray.
Yeah, you know that's Murray. But I'm saying Parker's role now is coming off the bench. You know, it's obvious that, you know, DeJounte's the future. But what I'm talking about is who are we going to have as a point guard coming off that bench? Because Tony Parker, let's face it, let's be real. I mean, every Spurs fan can see it for themselves. His days are numbered. You know, he's at the twilight end of his career. The sun's setting on his career, you know, and there's really not much you can do about it because Father Time is something that you can't beat. No one can defeat Father Time. So My question is, if the Spurs don't have a solid backup point guard, because we all saw that Patty Mills is not that. Patty Mills is a role player. He is not a solid backup or a solid starting point guard. We have to have a solid backup point guard for DeJounte. And if we don't have that, then I don't see any point in getting rid of Tony Parker at this point in time. But like you said, Derek White shows a lot of promise. So I think that it would only be fair to, you know, see what the young guy has. You know, let's see what this young buck has out there. Put him out there on the court. Let him play some minutes, you know, share those minutes with Tony Parker. And I believe if they were able to do that and see really what's going on with, you know, Derek White, if he's going to be a viable asset for the foreseeable future, and you can see him really coming along, and you offer Tony Parker, let's say, a 1-year contract, you know, or maybe 2 years at the max. I mean, I don't really see him coming back for 2 more years. I think if they say, look, we're gonna sign you, Tony, but let's have an understanding. This is your last season. You know,
that would
be okay with. If they say, oh, no, we're going to give him a contract extension for 2 or 3 years, I don't know what the front office is thinking. You know, that.
Well, here's what they're thinking. It's Tony Parker. I'm going to tell you right now, it's Tony Parker. It's their guy. It's, you know, the loyalty thing. And that's where I've been. Always been saying that the Spurs sometimes, and Popovich can be very loyal to a fault sometimes.
Yeah.
And this could be it right now. But look, at the end of the day, I don't think he gets let go. I think he still wears a Spurs uniform next season. I still think that's how it's going to play out. And if he's still there, great. I'm not going to knock it. But if it really, really came to push, came to shove, and the Spurs had to make a decision, I mean, let's just pretend. What if there's hot commodity guard free agent that's knocking on the Spurs door saying, I want to play for you guys. I don't mind backing up DeJounte Murray, and I'm younger and I don't have any major injuries and I'm on in. You know, I think the Spurs will probably do it. But in addition, I look at the situation and as I said, they're going to resign him. That's obvious. He's made it very clear, Joe, that he wants to play until he's 40, that he wants to break Tim Duncan's Spurs record as far as the most seasons with one team. Duncan has 19. Parker's gunning for 20. The Spurs are going to just keep him. I really think so. And look, if he stays a Spur, which we probably going to lean towards he will, Joe, it's not bad. I mean, what if this extended offseason allows him to really recuperate from that surgery and that injury he had last season, and he comes in fresh? Like you said, Joe, he admitted it. He said he maybe rehabbed too fast, and he hit a wall. Now he's going to have a lot of time off, and maybe that might do him some good, and he could surprise a lot of people next season. 23 points season high, you know, led the team in assist for what, 15 games. I think that'd be beneficial. But if they're at the bargaining table with some hot young point guard that wants to be a Spur and is willing to come in on the cheap, and then they got Parker here, woo, that's a tough decision. I would go with that, with the new blood. That's just me.
Yeah, you know, there's a saying, though. Rasheed Wallace is the one that said that. The ball don't lie, you know? And basically what he's saying is it's just that. When you have the ball in your hand, that ball isn't going to lie. It's going to be whatever you make it, you know? And mm-hmm. what that saying really means is that your game doesn't lie, you know, when you're out there. And Tony Parker's game right now, it's not lying, man. When you're, like you said it best, Jeff, he can't keep up with these younger point guards out there. And that's what the league is mm-hmm. made of, you know, and it's kind of like NFL, you know, of the NFL. In order for you to have a really great franchise, you have to have a quality quarterback. A point guard is just that. It's like a quality quarterback. Every good team in the NBA has a good quality point guard. And if the Spurs hope to make another run deep into the playoffs, they have to have that. You know, and it just doesn't start with just having one quality point guard. You also have to have a quality backup. You know, just like any other team, even the NFL, you have a good, solid starting quarterback. But if he gets hurt, you have to have a good quality backup to continue moving forward to get to the promised land. You know, and that's what I fear for the Spurs, because they're getting really thin in that department. And Tony Parker, to me, I mean, I love the guy, you know, and, you know, I can't discount what he's done for the franchise. But once again, you can already see that it's getting to be about that time. Can he play till he's mm-hmm. about 40 years old? Based on what we've seen in, you know, the last couple of years and this season, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. If he doesn't have a breakout season and he doesn't look back to true form in this coming season, I think it might be time, like you said, pull the plug. He's done.
Yeah. You know, so are you camp keep him or camp let him go?
I would keep him only for one more season. That's my thing. Keep him for one more season and just tell him this is going to be it for you as far as playing with the San Antonio Spurs. You're either going to retire as a San Antonio Spur, or if you feel like you can keep going, it's just not going to be with us.
Ooh, so you're kind of riding the fence and you're in the middle.
I'm right in the middle right now, but I mean, that talk has to happen. You got to sit him down and look him in the eye, man to man. Let's not mix words. I'm going to tell you like it is. We're going to offer you this amount of money, and it's only going to be for one season. After that, if you feel like you can still play, go ahead and, you know, explore other options. It's just not going to be here. You don't have to leave, well, but you can't stay here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm camp. Let him go. Just do it. Just let him go. As much as that's going to gut Popovich, and it probably will, and gut. You know what? Now that I think about it, you really think Spurs fans will be hating on it if they let him go?
I don't think they'll re-sign
him?
I don't think so.
I don't know why I get that feeling. I don't think they will.
Yeah, that they know exactly what's going on. See, the thing about Spurs fans is Spurs fans aren't stupid. You know, all these Spurs fans, we've really followed this team, you know, from the late 80s, you know, even before then, I know I did, until now, you know, and they really pay attention to the game. There's so much that you can see now with the advent of social media that a lot of these fans, they know what's happening and they can see what's going on right in front of their eyes, and everything's scrutinized. I mean, it's like microscopic. You go over everything now, you know, on social media with, you know, videos and everybody tweeting out these memes and all this stuff that's going out there. The podcast, you know, everybody's listening to all the national shows, morning shows that come out on, you know, the big networks, the four-letter networks, should we say, which I won't name here because I'm mad at them. Mm-hmm. But it's all this that they have at their disposal. So they're very well-educated mm-hmm. when it comes to that regard or that aspect of the game. So by us saying the truth, it's everything that they already knew. It's not news to them. So if they gave Tony Parker his walking papers, I guarantee you more than half of the fans out there will say it's about time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of teams outside of the Spurs would gladly pick him up. I really believe that.
They
would happily, and he'll definitely get a payday somewhere else if that happens. But if you want to look at some of his final, if this was his final game or season with the Spurs, you know, he closed out the regular season not too great versus Portland, went over in the field, 2 points versus at Lakers, 0-3, and at Clippers, 2-7 for 5 points. And then in his final four games versus the Warriors in the postseason, he had a 9-point outing, 16-point outing, 2-point outing, and a 2-point outing. He finished game, that was actually game four, I'm sorry, that where he had 2 points. And in game five, well, I don't want to even go there yet. So I mean, I just don't want to relive bad history. Nevertheless, it's going to be an interesting time for the Spurs. I think it can either go very mirror image of what the roster was last season, or it could be vastly different. If Manu retires, they pass on Parker. Obviously, we know what's going on with Kawhi if that shakes out. So definitely interesting, but part of that eye of the storm is Tony Parker and what the Spurs are going to do him. All right. Joe and I had a lot to talk about. We had a lot of back and forth, but we want to hear what you have to say. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Go ahead and throw tomatoes at me. And by the way, Joe, before I turn it over to you, I want to do a quick shout out to William Springs at Will Springs. He called me out for using my cell phone when we do a previous Los recordings. And I told him that basically it's just because of time and schedule. And we got to make do what we got to do. So he wants to start a GoFundMe to get me a new mic. And so I told him, no, it's fine. It's just simply scheduling right now. That's all it is. So William, I appreciate the looking out for me, but everything is fine. It's just Joe's schedule and my schedule clash sometimes. And yeah, it's a rare where we get to actually have some quality time where I can actually get on my mic and sound a lot better. But I appreciate you looking out for me, Williams, but maybe start a GoFundMe for Kawhi Leonard to raise some money, and then maybe he can stay.
You're my hero, Spur. Will Springs. You're my hero.
Yeah. All right, Joe. So talk about Two Shots and where fans can talk to you.
Yeah, you can find us at Two Shots, which is all spelled out, TWOSHOTS podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can also look us up on the World Wide Web at twoshotssa.com.
There we go. Joe, see how this sounds a lot better when I have time?
Yeah, no doubt, dude. It always does sound a lot better. But, you know, these fans, our viewers out there, they can tell the difference now, Jeff. So they're calling you out.
Oh, man. Well, William definitely called me out for my mic. But hopefully this will satisfy him and his ears. On this episode of Locked On Spurs. But for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. Yeah, we're going to on this episode of Locked On Spurs.